Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Christmas season is a beautiful time of year. People love to get into the holiday spirit by decorating their homes and maybe even their pets and possibly their cars. During this time of year, those Christmas villages can be a common sight. They can be scattered throughout homes or they can be put together in one place to create a magnificent scene. Manger scenes can dominate the homes of Christians and can even be put up in the homes of unbelievers. And it seems like everyone puts up a Christmas tree and decorates it with their own unique fashion, senses, and tastes. But one of the most beloved Christmas decorations, though, is Christmas lights. And you have to admit, there is something special about them. Christmas lights, whether on trees or on homes, really help to make the Christmas season. Can you imagine Christmas without Christmas lights? It's almost unthinkable, really. Can you even imagine our church's Christmas decorations without them? They're everywhere. It would seem like something was missing if there weren't any Christmas lights. Christmas lights are special. They draw our attention. How many times does it happen when you're driving down the street in December that your eyes are drawn to Christmas lights shining? Christmas lights also help to praise the season. They help you get into the holiday spirit. As we look at the prophet's text this morning, we see how the church and her gospel are like Christmas lights. But to kind of get a better understanding of our text, it's needful, as always, to look at the context of our passage. In the last 26 chapters of his book, Isaiah is writing to the future exiles of Judah. These people will live in captivity in the land of Babylon. They will be away from their physical and spiritual home. So he writes to give these people comfort and hope for their dismal future. So he tells them about Zion, the church, their true and better home. In the previous chapters, he told them how their fasting couldn't earn them favor with God. And then in chapter 59, he tells them that their sins had created a barrier between them and the Lord, but that God will give them salvation. And it's on the heels of this that our text begins. The prophet says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Isaiah calls the people out of their sin and out of its deadly control. He says, "Come out of its darkness in captivity." He calls the people to wake up and to shine. But how can they do this? How can we do this? Simple. God's word for the command shine constitutes a promise. It's not a pious wish or positive thinking, but it's a word of power that puts life into the church's limbs. For God's command and word can accomplish what it says. For if I say, get better or be well, how do you feel? Do you feel any different? Is your illness gone or is that problem taken care of and out of your life? Unfortunately not. But when God speaks, things happen. When he said, let there be light, there was light. When Jesus said, rise and go your way, your sins are forgiven, a man was able to walk, and he was made right with God. When we hear, rise and shine, we can do that because our light has come and it is coming again. That light is Jesus, who is the glory of the Father. He has come and won for us eternal salvation through his death to the darkness of sin and by his resurrection to the light of life. We can shine because of Jesus. For just as Christmas lights need a power source to shine into work, so do we and so does the church. For we see that both our conversion and the life that follows is the result of God's word and Christ's work. For through the waters of baptism, we are given Christ's righteousness and his merits. And they're applied to us. In baptism, we've been called out of darkness and into Christ's marvelous light. Through that washing of water in the word, we are daily renewed, cleansed, restored, and delivered into the light of everlasting life. We are right with God. We can only arise and shine because of Jesus. The church can only do her mission in and through him. And we can shine and arise because he is our power and source. And as Isaiah moves on, we'll see that just like how Christmas lights draw people to their beauty and light, we see that the church's gospel does the same. Our text says, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." We see that this word is true today. Darkness does cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. There are over 4 billion unbelievers in our world. And we see the world loving the darkness of sin as it becomes more perverted, as it enjoys the darkness by misusing the holy name of God as a curse word, as a fill-in for swears and misfortune. And we even see how its misuse has become part of our vocabulary with the letters OMG, or how people say, "Oh God," when bad things happen. But this is just the tip of the iceberg concerning the world's darkness and sin. But we see how this word is true in a positive way as well. For it is said, if the earth was flat, that you could see the flame of a candle shine over 30 miles away. It is said that if you stood on a tall mountain, that you can see light hundreds of miles away. That would be like seeing a light in Milwaukee while being here in St. Paul. The church's gospel message shines brightly, and it draws people in. Its message that Jesus has died for the ungodly and won for them salvation really does draw sinners. We see this is the case with the Magi in our gospel reading as they came from afar to worship the newborn king. When we say the Apostles' Creed, we confess with Luther, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. Enlighten me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." In the same way, he calls, gathers, and enlightens the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ and the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. The gospel, that news that Christ has died and rose again for sinners, really does work. The Holy Spirit calls, gathers, and enlightens through it. The church doesn't need to change her message to attract people, but rather needs to boldly and loudly proclaim that life-saving one that she has. The light of the gospel shines brightly and can be seen in a dark world. Even though it may seem like a small message, its light shines brighter and farther than we can ever imagine. It can do more than we can ever think or dream. And even though our own witness may seems small, like the flame of a candle, it can still be seen, and it makes a difference in a dark and sinful world. God uses his gospel to draw people, and he gathers them to his church where he daily and richly forgives them of their sin. The church's gospel really is like Christmas lights in that they draw people and shine brightly. Over the last week or so, we've all received gifts. And if we're honest, we haven't received all of those presents with the same joy or excitement. For there is nothing like receiving that thoughtful present or that gift that creates joy and excitement in your being. That gift, when you open it, that creates a smile on your face. And when you receive that gift, feelings of thankfulness overwhelm you. And you begin to think of ways to show your gratefulness. Whether that's saying thank you 1,000 times or finding way to show love and service to that gift giver, you show your thankfulness in the way that you best express it. In the verses that follow next, the nations and people who receive this gospel message have that same feeling and experience like receiving an awesome Christmas gift. Listen to what they do in verses 5 and 6. It says, "Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nation shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord." God's people rejoice at seeing others come to faith. These nations and people bring gifts of wealth, valuable materials, and even animals. Their bringing of gifts declares God's praise. They show their thankfulness through these gifts, for the gospel gives comforts for life struggles, gives hope in sickness, joy in suffering, forgiveness for sinful pasts, and healing for brokenness. This gospel message creates joy and praise for God. You can't help but have a joyous response at the news that God has saved you. It's like receiving that gift par excellence at Christmas. In light of what we receive and what has been done to us and for us through Christ, we want to praise God. We want to live for Him. We want to give Him our gifts. Just like how Christmas lights give praise to the season of Christmas, so does the church's gospel message. It creates joy and thankfulness in its hearers. It leads us to praising God. As we see the remnants of Christmas decorations over the next few weeks, let Christmas lights point you to the true light, Jesus Christ. Let them remind you of how the church and her gospel are like them. For they all need a power source. They all draw people, and they all create praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.